This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast Show 907. What's going on, everyone? This is David Green, your host of the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, the show where we arm you with the information that you need to start building long-term wealth through real estate today. And today we have a Seeing Green episode. If you're watching on YouTube, you see the green light behind me, and you know that that only means one thing. I'm filming this in front of a traffic stop at an intersection. Just kidding. It means that we are doing Seeing Green, and I've brought some help. We start off the show with James Daynard, who helps answer a question for me from one of the Bigger Pocket staff members, actually, which he does from his yacht. And then James realized in the middle of the interview that he did not want to be on the interview. He wanted to be yachting around. So I brought in Rob Little Yachty Abasolo to sort of support me with this, and he's here to take over the second portion. In today's show, we get into some really good stuff, such as why expensive markets tend to appreciate more than cheaper markets, what to do about turning your primary property into a rental if it doesn't cash flow, when your house hacking strategy doesn't go according to plan, when you can count expenses for a rental property and when you can't, and more importantly, what you have to do to make it eligible to count those expenses, and more. Up first, we've got a question from Noah Bacon in Colorado. So Rob, why don't you go check out the vacancy on our Scottsdale property and make sure we're getting that sucker filled, and then be back lickety split.
Okay, but before I do, if anyone here is listening and you want to submit a question, remember, you can always go over to biggerpockets.com/David to submit your questions for the next episode of Seeing Green.
Noah Bacon, the Bigger Pockets community manager. Noah, representing BP, what you got for us today?
Hey guys. Thank you both for taking the time to answer some of my questions. And it's really great to hang out with you guys here today. So I started house hacking in 2021 in Colorado Springs, and it performed really well when I was house hacking. And since I've moved out, it hasn't really performed all that well. On paper, everything was great. Like, was going to cash flow about $300-$400 when I moved out. Turns out went through an eviction, rental rate dropped a little bit now that it's not in the summertime, and insurance rates have like really skyrocketed here in Colorado. My HOA fees went up 100% this year alone. So just immediately from 2021 on paper, you know, everything looks great. Now we're here in 2024. I'm breaking even, so it's not like it's a terrible asset at this point, but it's breaking even, and I'm seeing the next 2 to 3 years on the horizon, and I'm like, do I take the equity in the property and deploy it elsewhere? Or do I kind of go along this path and potentially be at a negative cash flow in 2 to 3 years and let the equity build since it's at a 3% rate? I know a lot of people are in this great problem to have with a 3% rate and equity building, but the cash flow monthly is going to start to go on the downside. So when is it time, do you guys think, to scale, to start to think about different things? Should I ride this out? I guess, what have you guys been hearing about things like this?
I'm going to turn over to James. Before I do, I'm going to give you my 2 cents on why I think this is happening, because more people than you think, Noah, are in the exact same position. I saw 2023 was like the year of this, right? My opinion of why I think this is happening is we have really bad inflation. We printed a whole bunch of money. Inflation doesn't come right away. It's like if you have an earthquake in the middle of the ocean, it takes a while for that wave to build and actually hit the shore. But we're seeing it continually go up and up and up. And a lot of people measure inflation through the CPI, which I don't like because those things can be manipulated. But if you actually just look at your life, how much are you paying for steak at the grocery store? How much does milk cost? How much does gas cost? It's really high. And I'm seeing like homeowners insurance skyrocketing and no one's talking about it. I mean, it's not like it went up 20%. It's like it's doubling or tripling on some of these properties in one moment. Or another one, like you said, the HOA fees. It's like, oh, it was $150. Now they're coming back and saying $400. Okay. So rent can only go so high because rents are largely and loosely based on wage increases. Well, as inflation is making everything more expensive, that doesn't mean that companies are just paying their employees more. They're actually kind of getting away with giving people pay cuts if you keep their wage the same, but everything becomes more expensive. So HOAs are going up because of inflation. Insurance is going up because of inflation. I bet the next thing you're going to see is municipalities start increasing property taxes because of inflation having it there. Yet, rents are not going up because people are kind of already tapped out with what they can afford. And it's created this odd squeeze that I've never seen in real estate, where rents are not going up with the same degree as the cost of goods and services. because people couldn't afford to pay them. You'd have tenants to say, well, I can't make my payment if you raise my rent because I'm already not getting a raise at work and everything else is becoming more expensive. So James, what do you think? You see something similar or you have a different take on it?
No, I mean, the rising costs are eroding cash flow. Insurance is a huge expense for us as landlords, also as construction company. I mean, our builders' risk policies, it's expensive. And what we all have to do is our performas. The great thing about our performas the last 2 years is we would blow them up with way more income coming in. We did a lot better than we thought. Now what's happening is the expenses are starting to catch up. And honestly, people are starting to feel the real cash flow of real estate. And a lot of investors are feeling this right now because as you buy real estate and you're newer in real estate, and I did the same thing. It's like you buy them, you get a couple $100 a month in cash flow. And then the economy starts leveling out or something bad happens. You have to maybe pay for that asset, right? Because these are investments. Investments go up and down. And what I would do for any investor, and Noah, especially you, is going, what is your long-term goal? That, you know, when you're thinking about what to do with that property, you really need to know what is your 1 year, what is your 3 year, what is your 5 year goal? And by doing that and listing down where you want to be with your passive income and your cash flow, that's going to kind of tell you the direction you want to go. But personally, for me, everything's tradable and I can always increase my cash flow position. And the great thing is you made a very smart investment and you've made $100,000 in equity. Now you want to figure out what to do with that because equity is only good if you utilize it. And, you know, it's just sitting there. It's not even a real thing. And at the end of the day, I still factor that into my return. So every year I run return on equity on every one of my properties. Is my return still meeting what my expectations should be, or what can I do with that equity and trade it out? Because the great thing is you made that decision. You have $100,000 in gunpowder at that point. Your issue is you don't want to pay for your property every month, which is understandable. No one really does. If I would trade that for another property that has a lot higher cash flow, you have $100,000. You don't need to add into any other property. That's your down payment. And you can take that $300 to $400 a month or even break even, and you can 3 to 4x that by making the right trade and getting maybe some more doors, trading into a little bit cheaper market. But it has to be your goals. I want cash flow. If you want growth, I would take that property, I would 1031 exchange it into a value add property so I can double my equity position, right? If I'm buying it below market, improving with rehab, then all of a sudden my $100,000 in gunpowder might turn into $200,000. And then you're talking about trading that for some serious cash flow. But write down those goals. It's going to tell you your plan of action. But even if you have a 3% rate, who cares? It doesn't matter what your rate is if you're not making money. I would rather pay 10% and make money than 3% and break even. And I don't really, capital is just a cost of the deal. And if the deal is worth it, pay whatever rate it is. And, you know, so I would just say, write down your goals. Where do you want to be? Cash flow, equity? Do you want to expedite the process? Go value add. If you want steady cash flow, trade into a lower market, get more doors. And then if you can weather storms more because your cash flow is greater.
Noah, we have to take a quick break, but I will give you a chance to react to James's advice right after we get back.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right. Get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
Spring is here, and you know what that means. Fresh flowers, fresh air, fresh starts. So why not take a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security? SimpliSafe protects my home during the busy spring season when I'm out leveling up my portfolio. But you know why I really love SimpliSafe? Because it's very easy to install. As a matter of fact, I set up my entire system, my personal home, which is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, in less than 30 minutes. They've got a super simple app, as whenever we're on vacation, we have friends come by the house to water the plants, check on the house, whatever it is. We're able to turn off our alarm right before our friends get to the house and turn it on right after they leave instantly. SimpliSafe offers a wide variety of high-tech sensors that detect break-ins, fires, and floods. They've got indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch day and night, 24/7 professional monitoring at less than $1 a day, and I challenge you to figure out what you can buy for less than $1 a day. And with the 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try SimpliSafe risk-free. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind, and we want you to have it too. So, go get 20% off of your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring at simplisafe.com/pockets. That's simplisafe.com/pockets. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. We know, and you all know, why it's super important that good tenant screening is absolutely critical to your management process. Luckily, RentReady, the comprehensive property management software, has a new feature that makes tenant screening a breeze. In addition to TransUnion certified tenant screening, RentReady now offers proof of income verification. RentReady's automatic tenant proof of income verification ensures an in-depth check of each applicant's financial stability. With Plaid certified tenant income and assets reports, you can see a potential tenant's income summary and total earnings by month. All tenant screening and verification is paid by the tenant and done through the desktop and mobile app. It's time to say goodbye to gut check tenant screening and feel confident renting out your property with RentReady. And as a matter of fact, all BiggerPockets pros have RentReady included in your pro membership. If you're not a pro, RentReady is offering you 50% off of their annual plan. New customers visit rentready.com and use code BP2024. That's RENTREDI.com using code BP2024. That's BP, like Bigger Pockets, in the year 2024 to save 50% off of 1 year of RentReady.
And we're back with Noah Bacon, the investor and house hacker in Colorado who is struggling with increased costs and the handcuffs of a low interest rate. Should he sell to tap the equity or keep the deal? What do you think, Noah?
Yeah, that's really well said. And I think I'm at a point too where it's like, you know, one property that I have, if it goes wrong, like we were just talking about, James, it's like 2 months of paying two mortgages now. How can I potentially mitigate that risk? And I think, like you're saying, it's time to stop looking at that 3% and the equity build over, you know, the 30 years at a 3% rate. I've been hanging on to that since the day I bought the property. And it's like, it's time to let that fantasy and reality go and start to scale. And it's just now that the environment's different, you know, I wasn't expecting expenses to go so much more rapidly than what income was. I'm just like, okay, new year, really got to think about these things. So I really appreciate that because I really do think I need to start looking in potentially a different market because I've seen on the forums, places that I'm in, Colorado specifically, with natural disasters are having massive increases on insurance. So I think I just really need to start looking more macroly instead of my own localized market now.
And maybe get ahead of what the competition is going to be doing. So my guess would be in the next 5 years or so, more people are going to have a similar experience where their HOA jacked up rates a proportionally very high amount. Insurance went up because of natural disasters in that area at a disproportionate amount. Some of the other like costs that you can't control are going to go up more than what they did in the past. So it's not just HOA fees, but let's say you own a condo and it needs to have the roof replaced. Well, roofs are like three times more expensive than they were, you know, 5 years ago or so, because like James just said, the cost of construction is super high and the wages that they're paying these employees are high. And so those special assessments used to be like kind of a mosquito bite and now they're a dragon flame. It's killing you, right? So if you can avoid this by looking for properties that don't have the danger of having these costs go up. Single family homes instead of condos, properties that are not in an HOA, but they're still in a decent area. And even if they don't cash flow right away, if you pick the right location over the next 5 years, the rents are going to go up in those areas more than the others. And the values are going to go up in those areas more than the others. Because as other investors and homeowners start to realize how bad it is to be in an HOA, if you can't control the cost going up or an area where insurance is really high, they're going to move into the areas that I think you should be looking for right now.
So Noah, you house hacked this house, correct? Like you lived in it for a certain amount of time. You know, and if you lived in that property for 2 years and talked to your accountant, you can take that the homeowner exemption and your $100,000 could be completely tax-free. Because if you lived there for 2 years, you're going to qualify up to $250,000 of tax deferment at that point. And actually, after 1 year, your $100,000 might be totally tax-free. And if you look at that, right, your 3% rate, yeah, you're saving something right now because you're going to have to pay 6.5%, 7%, pretty solid. but you're going to make $100,000 with no tax on that. And then what you can do is you can take that portion of your taxes, go reinvest that into your new multi, and you might be able to buy two properties and you don't have to defer it. You know, you have a clean tax basis. You're saving on $100,000. You're going to save at least $20,000 in taxes. You're putting that back in your property. You can roll it into a new property to increase your portfolio. So, utilize the tax credits to, if you got to trade up your rate, at least you're getting a big benefit on the taxes.
With my first property, I only lived there for a year, and then I purchased my second house hack 12 months after. So I'm coming up on 2 years on the house hack I'm currently living in, and it's also townhouse in an HOA, and I'm just like expecting the same rainy day that I had on the rental property that I turned into. So I'm like, probably when it comes to 2 years at the property I'm living in currently, I'll think about that, deploy the capital and take the tax exemption. But with the property that I lived in previously, I only had 1 year. So I'm not going to be able to hit that tax exemption, unfortunately.
Yeah, but you can take a portion of it. I would talk to your accountant on it and just see. And then that might tell you, you know, so again, going back to your goals, like 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, you know, you might be really comfortable in your house that you're in now and you want to stay there. And that's perfectly normal, right? You got a low rate. You want to stay there for a long time. That meets your goals. Or you don't really care. Like for me, I'll trade any house. I have no emotional attachments for housing anymore. Then I would utilize both. And then you can go maybe pick up a new primary on a value add, start creating that equity again for another tax-free gain, take the portion and go buy one or two more rentals and get better cash flow out of those. And you're going to really, over a three-year period, you're going to 2x your return right now. Because you're going to pick up the value add on your property that will be tax-free over 2 years. And then if you're increasing your cash flow, it's helping with your monthly expenses. And if you buy on value add, you can increase that equity even further. And so it's that domino effect, right? Every time you make a trade, pick up another trade. I never trade like for like. I want to improve my equity position every time because the equity position and the equity is how we really get financial freedom.
It doesn't have to be cash flow or equity, which is how the argument often gets phrased. I think it should be cash flow after equity. So if you think about how much control you have over cash flow, it's very little. You can't control what rents are. They're going to be what they are. You could try to control expenses, but there's only so much you could do. Your mortgage isn't going away. Your taxes aren't going away. And when the insurance goes up or the HOA go up, you don't have a choice. Like the only expenses you really have any measure of influence over are vacancy, maybe how much you pay for maintenance if you can figure out how to get some kind of handyman to be good. And like even CapEx, you can't really control, right? So it's incredibly difficult to build cash flow because you don't have as much control over it. But equity, you have a lot of control over. You control how much you pay for the property. You control what area you buy in and where they're going to be going up. You control what value add you do to the property. You control the whole project if you pay attention to it and how cheap the expenses are kept for the rehab. So if you have more control over something, you are more likely to be successful in it. My advice for most real estate investors, especially when they're younger, is not to just race to cash flow and quit their job and then say, hey, I made it, because those people end up getting back into the same rat race that they claim they quit, unless they sell courses and they live off of that and pretend like they're living off of the rent. My advice is just snowball equity, like what James said. Every deal you pick up, you buy it under market value, you add value to it, you sell it, you go into another one, and you build up this snowball. And then near the end, you convert all of that equity that you've built into cash flowing property, which is going to give you a lot more cash flow than if you take the approach of, I'm going to keep acquiring your properties at $200 a month. If we lived to be 900 years old, like Methuselah, that would be a good strategy. Unfortunately, life is too short for that to work out.
I'm thinking about this with a small mind and until today. And I think it's time to really start expanding the portfolio a little bit more and see what other options are out there. But I can't thank you guys enough for your time today and helping me think about where my portfolio will head into the next year.
All right, Noah, thanks for coming on. And I hope you're enjoying the shared conversation that we have so far. And thank you for spending your time with me. Make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe to this video. Let us know in the comments what you think. In this segment of the show, I like to take questions from the forums and answer those, since it's an awesome forum on biggerpockets.com. We also read some of the YouTube comments or address any of the reviews that were left, where you can leave a review where you listen to podcasts. So go leave us a review and let's talk about what y'all been saying. Our first question comes right out of the forums, and it was a topic that was labeled, WTF is wrong with investors these days. Rob, this is some good stuff. So basically, this was from Angelo Romero, and he has a turnkey company that also helps manage properties in Toledo, Ohio. And he has people that reach out to him and say, hey, I don't want to buy any of your product, but I was hoping that you could help me to find a deal. Also, do you have any contractor, lender, or agent referrals? Oh, and by the way, I'd love to have you manage properties that I bought with somebody else, but not from your company. And he was a little peeved about this. And he says, it seems to me that everyone wants something for nothing nowadays, and nobody is willing to put in the work or pay the margin for the person who did put in the work. Now, I can relate to this a little bit because people come to me as an agent and they say, hey, can you help me get an off-market deal? Or do you have any off-market deals? And agents only get paid when the deal is indeed on the market. So it doesn't really make sense to ask a real estate agent to represent you, but then they don't get paid. So I'm in this situation all the time. I just kind of wanted to get your 2 cents before we dive into this, Rob.
Well, first of all, he caps this one with says, folks want to own a monkey. They want to play with the monkey, but not carry the monkey or clean its S word when it does one. So that's pretty funny. Well, first of all, let me ask you, when you're getting an off-market deal, I assumed if you're brokering that deal, there's still some kind of finder's fee, right?
You actually can't do that. So when you're a real estate agent and you're a licensed person, if somebody wants to help put something together that's off-market, like wholesale, almost every brokerage is going to tell you that you can't do that, because when you're licensed, you have a fiduciary duty to the people you're working with, and they expect that. And it's a massive liability to help somebody that when you're not covered by your license or the insurance that goes under your license.
Yeah. So I guess the problem here is that people are asking for quite a bit. There's a little bit of entitlement in that they expect you to do a lot of things for them, but they're not providing the value up front. So I'd probably try to go out of my way and see how I could provide value.
And we're not trying to sit here and be negative on the show, but I do think that there's a lot of people that are in the BP world that just don't understand that the podcast is free and the blogs are free and the forum is free and the books are cheap. There's so many things that are free, but the people that make their living from this that are on here sharing free advice, that doesn't mean that they're going to work for free. One of the comments in the forums here said, I guess we've gone from how do I invest with no or low money down to how do I get other people to do all the work for me and I benefit from the deal without paying them. And we're only bringing this up because there's a very good chance that people don't realize that's how they're coming across. I don't think anyone is conscious of the fact that when you go to a turnkey provider who's basically like digging in the streets, trying to find that deal and putting blood and sweat and tears into getting it. And then you say, hey, can you just give me one of those so that I don't have to do the work, that it's going to be offensive to them.
Provide value in a way that's like a clear need that someone has, and try to make a win-win out the gate. Instead of saying, hey, come in and teach me your ways and I'll work for you. That's really hard, because then you have to kind of show someone how to do that thing. And that's work for us. It's very different to then come in and say, hey, the thing that I am a master at is communication. I will come in and handle all of your communication with your vendors, with your guests, with your contractors, everything. That's what I'm good at. In return, I'd like for you to do X for me. And then there's an actual value exchange there that doesn't put so much pressure on the other person to, I don't know, teach and mentor and provide the value. I want this to be an insightful question. I just, this guy is right. What's in it for me? And you have to understand that you have to try to answer what's in it for them. If there's no actual value or any kind of monetary compensation, then you really have to figure out how you can lead with value and make it a no-brainer, a win-win for them to actually help you. Otherwise, you know, as nice as many, many people are, you'll just never get the time of day asking for something without offering something very clearly valuable in return.
And then you'll be frustrated because you keep reaching out to people asking for help and they kind of blow you off, or they just ignore you, or they very politely misdirect what you just said. And you're like, man, how come no one's out here to help me? Well, that's what we're here to tell you. This is why they're not helping you. I tend to look at real estate like you got a bone with a lot of meat on it, and that meat is equity. So there's some seller out there that has a property and everyone's trying to find how they can get it under contract for less than what it would sell for on the open market. It's after repair value. Well, if you go find that seller yourself, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of rejection. It's a lot of pain. It's a lot of risk, but you get all of that equity. Now, what people do in the real estate space is they slowly start to slice off chunks of that equity to pay themselves to help you with that process. So just think about, what are the things I don't want to do, and how am I willing to pay someone, and who do I want to pay for those things? As long as your expectation isn't, I want all the meat and I don't want to have to pay somebody else for it and I don't want to do the work myself. Once you find your lane, that's where you'll get good at that lane. You'll build up some experience and you'll start building the momentum, acquiring the properties, and you'll get to be like Rob Abasolo here and show up wearing a G-Shock watch with a printed tee and a perfectly teased coif talking to the masses.
And by the way, on top of the forum just being a really great place to get answers to your questions, it's also a very therapeutic place to go and find other people that might be able to relate to your personal situation. So definitely everyone take advantage of the Bigger Pockets forums. It's free and it's a very easy way to level up.
And we've got more in store for you. So stay tuned right after this quick break.
Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder, Dave Van Horn, wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today. You're ready to open a business bank account for your new property. You know what that means? Coordinating a time between you, your co-founders, and your bank consultant. Waiting at the branch or waiting for hours on the support line. Who has time for that? With Relay, you can open a business bank account for your property 100% online from anywhere. Create up to 20 accounts to organize money by property or by categories like expenses, taxes, or investments. Effortlessly collaborate with role-specific access. That means giving your cleaner a debit card for cleaning supplies or your accountant read-only access to your transactions. Own multiple businesses? Relay lets you open unlimited accounts and access them all from one centralized login. Okay, I'm going off script here. That is cool. It's annoying that I have to log into 10 business accounts with my current bank. So go sign up for RelayFi, because that's a feature that I like. No monthly fees or minimums, and it takes just 10 minutes to sign up. Head on over to RelayFi.com/biggerpockets for stress-free banking. You can join me because I'm heading on over there right now. I'm heading on over to RelayFi.com/biggerpockets. Relay is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Thread Bank, member FDIC. The Relay Visa debit card is issued by Thread Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Are you about to sell a property? Wait like 60 seconds, because this could save you thousands. Our friends at 1031 Pros have saved their clients more than $500 million, with a B, in taxes with 1031 tax-deferred exchanges. With the 1031 exchange, you can say goodbye to the huge capital gains taxes when selling and roll your property's profit into another investment that could make you even more. Whether you're an individual investor, part of a larger group, or a title or real estate agent, 1031 Pros is ready to help. Trust me, I've done 1031 exchanges on multiple properties before, and it has saved me tens of thousands in taxes, if not more. With over 30 years of experience, 1031 Pros has handled over 20,000 audit-free exchanges, and they specialize in all types of exchanges: delayed, simultaneous, reverse, and improvement exchanges in all 50 states. And right now, Bigger Pockets listeners can get $250 off any exchange by visiting my1031pros.com/BP. That's my1031pros.com/BP to get $250 off today. Oh, and make sure to mention Bigger Pockets when you call. They take care of our people over there. You're trying to close on your next rental, so why is your insurance company dragging its feet? With long lead times and never-ending paper forms, it's no wonder it takes forever to finally get a policy. Modern investors deserve better. They deserve Steadily.com. At Steadily.com, you'll get fast, affordable landlord insurance available online 24/7 in just a few clicks. You can even get next day coverage, which takes just minutes, by the way, to obtain. And you can do it all from your phone. Steadily was founded by landlords who created insurance products tailored to the unique needs of this industry. It's their sole focus, and that's why landlords nationwide consistently rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars. So whether you've got a single family, short-term, or multifamily portfolio, Steadily.com can secure the best coverage at the best price to protect your properties. Discover how Steadily can save you both time and money on your rental property insurance. Visit Steadily.com for a commitment-free quote tailored to your needs today. Calling all property owners and operators. Are you managing a multifamily property and looking to elevate your residents' living experience? Introducing Quantum Fiber Internet, your go-to choice for speedy internet your residents will love. The process is as seamless as Quantum Fiber service. Starting at just $50 a month, your residents can enjoy fast, reliable internet that will make them love where they live even more. Connect with your local fiber representative today. Learn more at q.com/gobig. I wonder how they got that domain. That's q.com/gobig. Limited availability. Service and rate in select locations only. Taxes and fees apply. 360 Wi-Fi and other equipment lease charges, taxes, and fees are excluded from price for life offer and may be increased. Welcome back to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast. Let's jump back in.
All right, moving on. Our next review comes from Apple Podcasts. This one is labeled inspirational. I've been listening to Bigger Pockets for years and they offer stories, different ideas on how to approach a journey to get to a real estate investment level. I would say that you get what you give as far as my personal investment on time and effort that you put into finding deals and resources. I've found three and I found Bigger Pockets played a role in that from Dave Scruff on the Apple Podcast app. Well, thank you for the 5-star review, Dave. People like you keep this episode reaching the masses. All right, we love your guys' engagement and we appreciate you listening to us. Please continue to like, comment, and subscribe on our YouTube page as well as leaving us your 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever it is. All right, let's get into our next question. This comes from Joe Ademic in Boston.
Hi, David. Thanks for all the great content you've been producing. I found it really educational and I've learned a ton. My name is Joe and I'm located in the Boston area and I'm just getting into real estate investing and looking for a house hack soon. So my question is really, a couple episodes ago, you kind of mentioned that a higher priced area like San Francisco will appreciate more than a lower priced area. And I was kind of curious on the logic behind that because I feel like a higher priced area, the prices are so high that they won't be able to grow as much. And I'm just kind of curious if you're suggesting that will the gap between like a higher priced area and a lower priced area will just widen kind of thing in the future. And I guess any more tips on how to house hack your first property. And thank you.
Solid question. Basically, he wants to know what's the logic as to why we would say a higher priced area will appreciate more. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I love this stuff. We get to talk about the fundamentals of real estate. And personally, I think you and I, Rob, put the fun in fundamentals. Everybody else is boring, but we make it cool.
I put the mental, bruv.
All right. So the reason that they are priced higher in the first place is because there is more demand than supply. So think about it like people have to be willing and able to pay the price of a home or rent for that matter. Same goes for short-term rentals, right? How much are they going to pay per night? They have to be willing and able. Willingness is a function of supply and demand. Is there other options? Well, I'm not willing to pay you $500 a night if I could get something similar for $200 a night. I'm not willing to pay $500,000 for that house if someone else is selling one for $300,000. Pretty sensible. Now, the other part is able. If wages have not increased in the area, even if someone was willing to pay that price for the house, they're just not able to. The same goes for if they were willing to pay you that much for their Airbnb, but the economy is really bad or they don't make enough money, then they're just not able to. So people have to have both. The areas with the highest price homes have people that are willing and able to pay that price. And then you just let the free market do what it does. So he was saying, why did those areas appreciate more? It's because the people that have the money that are willing to pay for the homes are always going to drive the prices up more than the people that do not have the money or are not willing to pay for it. Does that make sense?
It does. Let me ask you this, because just from a basic math fundamental question, if the average appreciation on a city is, let's say, 3%,
Well, that's going to compound faster on an $800,000 median price point than, let's say, a $200,000 median price point. So just from the sheer value of a property, the more expensive it is, the greater that appreciation ends up being at an average appreciation rate of whatever the national average is, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. If an $800,000 house goes up by 3%, that's $24,000. If a $2,000 house goes up by 3%, that's $6,000. And you compound that over 5 years, right? The cheap house went up by $30,000. The other one was like $120,000 or so. So
yeah, I think there's a lot more to all of this statement with the whole like, yeah, you know, and a more expensive house appreciates more. I think all the economic factors that you talked about before I said that all play into it as well. But yeah, typically the more expensive a home is, the greater that appreciation is, just in the way that compounding appreciation works.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Hope we helped you there. And you didn't ask this question, but I'll just throw this in for everybody listening here. When you're looking at rental properties that you want to cash flow, you will typically be looking at the $200,000 houses that Rob described. So the lower price points tend to make better rental properties because the price to rent ratio is more favorable on cheaper houses. Once you get into more expensive homes, they get further and further away from the 1% rule as they go up in price, because there are less tenants that want to rent $1 million house than there are that want to rent a $2,000 house.
Yeah, bonus answer here, because he did ask for a house hacking tip. I'm just going to say this: house hacking is great. I would say if you can expect your expectations to not necessarily have to be to offset your entire mortgage payment with the house hack, then you'll have way more options on the table. Too many times people are trying to make money on a house hack or have no mortgage at all as a result to all the money that they make from renting out rooms. It doesn't have to be that. I think paying half of your mortgage through a house hack is a perfectly beautiful way to enter that game.
All right. And our next question comes from Joseph Xavier in North Carolina. Hello, Coach Green. My fiance and I are 23 years old and purchased our first primary residence about 6 months ago with an FHA loan. Our plan was to save money to purchase another primary residence in 2 years. We underestimated ourselves drastically and have saved more in the past 6 months than we thought we could in 2 years. Way to go, Joe. The only problem with this is that the rental values of our current home has not gone up enough, and we would be breaking even or even losing money if we include the vacancy rates and the maintenance. We have a long-term mindset and are thinking about retirement. While cash flow would be great, we're more concerned about setting ourselves up for success in 10, 20, or even 40 years from now. My question is, should we stay put and keep saving and wait for rents to go up, eat the $200 loss and purchase another primary residence, purchase another property as an investment property, or something else that we aren't thinking of?
Yeah, this one seems right in your wheelhouse. I mean, first of all, congrats on saving more in 6 months than you thought you could in 2 years. That's amazing. I've never heard anyone say that before. So that's a really, really great thing. As to whether you should lose money or not, we've done episodes on this, on if the appreciation will ultimately make up for it. My question back to them would be like, are there ways to increase rents? Like, is there a forced appreciation or a forced equity play? Could they convert a basement or a garage into an extra room? Is there something they can do to try to get their rents to catch up with market value? I would probably explore that route first and try to maximize the income on one property before going out and buying another investment property.
Great point there. I think the problem is, he was saying, hey, we plan to leave our house and get the next one, but rents didn't go up enough that it would cash flow if we left it. So is it okay to buy our second house if the first one isn't cash flowing like everybody talks about? So this is a good problem to have, frankly, because you're going to have some equity there. If you don't want to lose that cash flow and you can't do what Rob said, which is bump the rents up somewhere else or add another unit to it or use it as a short-term rental or whatever options that you have there, you can just sell it. Sell it and take the equity out and put it into the next one. If you don't want to sell it because you think it's going to keep going up in value, well then, hey, keep it and lose a little bit of money there because you're gaining more equity than what you're losing in the cash flow. That's why you wanted to keep it. And if you don't like either of those options, you could just keep saving money and staying where you are and delaying finding the next property. But you're not in a rush to move. And that's what I love about this. You can really look for the best possible house hack to buy for your next deal. And if the next one is going to save you even more money a month than this one because it's so good, maybe it has a lot more bedrooms or the rents are a lot higher for different reasons, well, then if you're losing a little bit when you move out of this one, that's covered by the savings that you're getting of the next one. So it's still a net gain.
Yeah, I'm very anti losing cash flow on a rental in general. And if we know that you're going to lose money on this, like if you can't force appreciation, force equity, all that stuff and increase your rents, I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with selling it, taking the money that you make and putting it into a new primary, and then just build your nest egg of equity. And one day that equity will be great. You know, you'll be able to retire on that equity if you keep it until you retire.
All right. Our next question comes from Taylor White in Atlanta. We are moving our primary residence to another primary residence, and we will keep and rent out our previous home. At what point can we start counting expenses against the revenue that the rental will bring? Do we need to wait until closing on our new home before buying things for the rental? Do we have to wait until the rental is available for rent before we can expense? If so, when does it technically become available for rent? Thanks for all you do for the BP community. My thought would be the minute you move out of it, you call it a rental property and it's available for rent. You just haven't advertised it yet because it's not like pretty, but it's still a rental when you move out of it. But we'll just have to clarify that they need to verify that with a CPA.
So basically want to know if they list their property on the 1st, but they don't actually get it rented as a long-term rental until the 15th, can they start marking expenses on the 1st of that month? Now that sounds like a tax question, and you should always talk to your CPA for these types of things, but I happen to be friends with the best CPA in the world, Matt Bontrager. So let me give him a call really fast.
Yes, they will be able to take those expenses, but it'll just be capitalized either to the cost of the property, or they will be able to just take those as expenses against the income. It's just you can't start to deduct those expenses, at least in that year, until that property is placed in service. So the fact that we're really talking about a 2-week lag, that's totally fine. But yes, they need to end up getting it placed into service, which is actually, if it's a long-term rental, just has to be available rent. If it's a short-term rental, they actually have to get it rented.
So that's the question. When is it actually available for rent? Does it have to be advertised on like websites like Craigslist? Rental? Yeah, it's a long-term rental.
Once they start to advertise it and seek tenants.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much. You heard it here first, everybody. Sue Matt Bontrager. Thanks, man. Okay, so we just talked to Matt Bontrager over at TrueBooks. He says that it just has to be available for rent. And that means that the moment you list it on a website like Craigslist or whatever, that would count as being available for rent. So there you have it.
So there you go. Put your property up for rent as soon as possible. If you don't have pictures ready, well, then just don't put those in the Craigslist ad and just describe the property and then collect the emails of the people that are interested in it. And then when it is ready to be shown, that's when you can arrange for the showing. And then when you get the pictures and they're all nice and pretty, you can upload those to the Craigslist ad and make sure you verify this with the CPA to make sure this is all up and proper.
Wait, one noteworthy thing here, though. He did say that it's different between a long-term rental and a short-term rental. So if it's a long-term rental, it just has to be like placed into, it just has to be made available. So say on Craigslist. If it's a short-term rental, it actually has to be rented for that to start counting. So there is a small difference there depending on which route you take.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for being here with us on Seeing Green. We love doing these and we love being able to help you all. As a reminder, head to biggerpox.com/David and submit your question that we can answer on Seeing Green. And thank you, Rob, for being here with me today.
It's what I do best, my friend. Good to be here.
If you're listening to this on YouTube, make sure you leave us a comment. Let us know what you thought about today's show and what you didn't get answered. And if you'd like to know more information about Rob or I, our information and social medias are in the show notes. This is David Green for Rob, putting the R in the Burr Method. Abasolo, signing off.
The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam! Instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today. The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all host and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.